The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to What About Wealth? Making it, investing it, protecting it, leaving a legacy with your hosts, Rich Bloomfield and Rick Durfee. In today's economy, preserving wealth has become more important than ever, especially when it comes to our future generations. Now, here is Rich Bloomfield and Rick Durfee.
Good morning, everyone. This is Rich Bloomfield. Great to have you here today. And Rick, we've got an exciting topic today, especially for you.
We do. I love talking about charities and how we can make the world a better place with our wealth.
So it's we are going to talk about the different ways to give to charity, probably maybe different than just the standard write a check. We're going to be talking about split interest gifts today, and hopefully by the end of the show you'll know what that all means.
Right. Kruts, Krats, NICRUTS, NIMCRUTS, CGAs, DAFs, all these acronyms that people in the industry like to throw around that are sometimes confusing to lay people who don't do this every day. One of the things I want to point out, later in the show, we're going to show our listeners or tell our listeners how they can turn their traditional IRA or 401k into something that is completely tax-free, zero estate taxes, zero income taxes, which is actually kind of an exciting idea. So that's we're going to get to that later on. Talk to us, Rich. Are there issues in the news about charitable giving and taxes?
You know, there are, Rick. I was just reading the paper this morning, and I saw something that was very interesting. I wanted to jump back to the thing that you just mentioned about IRAs. You know, that sounds like, oh, okay, well, I don't know if that's a big deal or not, because I think most people think that their IRAs and 401ks are somehow going to pass on to their children without paying any tax. And, you know, sometimes we forget that you have to pay tax on those things when you take them out of the IRA structures. So it's a really big deal, because that's some of the most difficult areas that we deal with in planning, is trying to figure out how to get those qualified assets moved on without incurring a bunch of transfer taxes and income taxes. So I'm excited to hear what you have to say about that. As far as the news goes, I was reading an article about an orphan from Sudan who came over and long story short, started this organization called SOAP, which stands for Student Orphan Aid Program. And what they were pointing out in the article that I wanted to mention here is that the bottom 20% of American households, measured by income, contribute 4.3% of their income to charity, while the top 20% contribute only 2.1%. And that's from some government, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So the explanation was, wealth, to a certain extent, allows you to inhabit kind of an insulated world, and the poor rely instead on deep social bonds to solve everyday problems, and that results in an increased focus on other people. The wealthy, and with money, you kind of get this independence and, to some extent, a disconnect from other people. So I think that's kind of a dangerous thing that comes with wealth. And so that's why we thought, you know, today we had to really focus on why, when you do have wealth and you do have money, how does it make sense? Why does it make sense? What are some real advantages? Because there are huge advantages that can be garnered from structuring things around a charitable structure. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, Rick. So we said at the beginning of the show we're going to talk about split interest gifts.
Yeah, I want to follow up on your story though. I got this just popped into my head, but it's significant. As a kid, I got a paper out when I was 10 years old. They don't do that anymore, but I had over a number of years I had a paper out in a very poor area, and a different one later in a very wealthy area, and in those days we would go door to door to collect. Is what we'd call it, to go get paid for the newspapers we delivered. And in the poor area, and this was frankly in one of the poorest area in the city where I grew up, the people were, oh dude, you're out there riding your bike, it's hot, you're working hard, and I would get really big tips. And then later in the really nice area with the big fancy air conditioned homes and the housewives with their, you know, perfectly done hair and beautiful dresses would answer the door, and I rarely, if ever, got a tip. So that is at an early age, I learned, wow, these people, they're poor, but they are generous and they're kind, and they're very aware of, they were aware of me as a person. So I think there's something to this. And I also find it, as you kind of allude, frustrating when we're trying to help a wealthy individual avoid some big tax penalty, and the C word comes into the conversation. What? Charity? I'm not going to give anything to charity. This is my money, and I'm not giving it away. And we're trying to show them how, in fact, to keep more of their money by doing some smart planning. So it's a huge issue, and one that's kind of interesting. So I kind of want to dive in here and talk about what the heck is a split interest gift, because if we understand the tool, then we can talk about some fun and powerful ways to use it. One of the things they teach you in real estate school and law school and in lots of other places is that you can divide property up. You can divide it up over time. You can divide it up physically, and you can put a fence down the middle of it. And the dividing property up over time is an interesting idea. It's what we do actually when we rent or lease property to someone. The owner of the property gives another person the temporary right to occupy it and use it. Well, we can do something similar to that with other kinds of assets, with money, with brokerage accounts, with business interests, and we can split them up between the and the specific line that usually gets split up in this case for this kind of planning is along the line of we split it into the present income interest, which means the right to receive the income from this property or asset right now, and the residue or the future remainder interest, whatever's left over at death or at the end of the term of years when the income right expires. And we can split this an asset up in this way and give away one piece and keep another piece. And typically with all these acronyms, the CRUTs and the CRATs and the NIMCRUTs and the CGAs and so forth, what we're giving away most of the time is the future remainder interest or residue at our death or at the end of a term of years. And what we're keeping is the lifetime right to the income, which is really cool and very powerful. So I can, if I have $100 and I could put that $100 in the bank and earn a nickel actually I guess you could earn $5 theoretically of income in a year. I could keep that $5 a year income from my $100, and that would be mine. but the $100 when I die would go to charities. And when I do that, a couple things happen. And we can kind of unpack all this. I get a present income tax deduction. I can avoid capital gains tax on that asset in selling it. If it's an appreciated asset, I can remove it from my taxable estate, and I get some tax deductions and other tax advantage things coming flowing to me along with that income. So we can unpack this. And I want to mention, I guess, one last thing before we jump into a specific example, is that these are particularly powerful when we combine the split interest gift function with the family foundation structure, so that the entity, the charitable entity that we're ultimately giving this property to, is not a third-party charity where it leaves us and it's gone and our ability to influence and control it is forever given up. Rather, it's a family foundation, preferably as a donor-advised fund, which we'll kind of mention, that enables us to, although it must be used for charitable purposes, it allows us to continue to be involved and continue to help make crucial decisions on what charities get supported and how the funds are invested in the meantime and so forth. So that's kind of a rundown, Rich. And as you know, you and I together have done quite a bit of this kind of planning with our clients. And in fact, we were talking about a pretty significant case as we were getting ready for this today. Why don't you tell our listeners about the CRUT, the Charitable Remainder Uni Trust, and what that is?
Okay. I wanted to, and you know, I'll explain more of the specifics here, but I wanted to start with an example. Let's say that that you own a company, and you've realized after working in the company for several years that things are going well, and that you figured this thing out, and over the next several years, things are going to really increase. The value is going to increase, and you're going to have a huge asset on your hands. A possible structure for that would be to, hey, let's take the value of this now, and since I don't really want to pay tax on all that gain when it comes to me, maybe we could give part of the company away to a charity. Maybe we can do what you just talked about, a split interest gift, where we set that up, and part of the value goes into a structure, and I end up with income off that for the rest of my life, but the charity would end up with whatever's left over at the end, and I wouldn't have to pay a big tax on that when it happens. So a classic structure for being able to do that is what you just mentioned, the CRUT, or the Charitable Remainder Uni Trust. And this is really the most popular because it's the most flexible structure out there. And you can use cash, securities, real property. You can transfer all of those, or some, or even one or all into this to this trust. And the trustee manages the trust assets, and they pay you or others to choose a variable income for life or for a term of years, and then when the trust terminates, the remaining assets are transferred to the charity. So a typical donor would be someone that's looking for income for life or for a specified term of years, maybe. They desire more income as the trust value increases. So if the value of this continues to go up, then they get more income. And they may want to make additional gifts into the trust. So they don't want to be stuck with just, okay, this is the only one that I'm doing. And this usually works the best if someone's between the ages of, say, 55 and 80. But so the way this would work is you would set up a trust agreement, And so that's a critical part of this. You set up a charitable remainder unit trust, and there are varieties of those. You'd put assets into the trust, and you'd set up someone, and you can actually remain as the trustee along with maybe someone from the charity, and then this would be structured so that you end up with a certain percentage of the, for example, many people have a 5 or a 6% income that they receive for the rest of their life based on the value of the assets that they put in. So if you put in $1 million and you're getting 5%, then every year you'd get a check for $50,000, or that could be paid out to you over, you know, monthly too. And then, and often this is done with a couple, Rick, so that when the husband dies, the 5% continues to go to the wife as long as she's there. And so it's a very secure feeling for a married couple, because they know that's going to come to them until the last to die. And then after that, then the remaining assets are distributed to the charity. So that's generally how it works. And the thing that I guess I failed to mention on the front end, but you mentioned it earlier, is that when you first put these assets into the trust, there's a calculation done based on IRS tables, and it gives you a current income tax deduction, a charitable deduction for the number that you calculate there. And so that works out really well for people too, because they often need a big tax deduction, and they get that right off the bat when they set this up. I think we need to head to break now. But when we come back, we'll be talking about other structures and other strategies where we can use charitable, we can benefit charity and benefit ourselves.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
How do you feel about the future? Tune in each week for Visionary Leader Extraordinary Life with host Kate Ebner. You can be a great leader by learning from the inspiring stories of amazing visionaries who are shaping our future. Everyone deserves to create their own vision, and Kate and her guests will share the tools that you need to make it happen. Make a weekly visit to the Voice America Business Channel for Visionary Leader Extraordinary Life every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time. Be inspired. Become inspiring.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement. Get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
If you are looking for both an inside and insightful look at what you're not seeing in media coverage of today's legal, business, and policy battles, tune into In the Court of Public Opinion with host Jim Haggerty. What happens in the public arena affects us all. Whether you're following the latest high-profile court case, corporate crisis, or are just interested in government and policy, be sure to tune in every Tuesday at 12 noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. The witnesses are ready and the jury seated. So join us for our next session in the Court of Public Opinion.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to What About Wealth with Rich Bloomfield and Rick Durfee. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to info@whataboutwealth.com. That's info@whataboutwealth.com. Now back to Rick and Rich.
Welcome back. The other thing for our listeners that you can always do is give us a call at 480-324-8000. We'll be happy to set up a time to visit with you on any of these subjects at any time, and that we do that free of charge for the first hour or so, and you can just set that up when you call that number. Rick, talking about these split interest gifts, you know, does the timing of when you make the gift, does that make a difference?
Yeah, it does. That's a huge thing. I've often had it happen where a client or a potential client will call and say, hey, I sold my company and I had all this capital gains. Can I avoid it now by doing a split interest gift? And the answer is, bummer, you waited too long. The timing is a huge factor. Bottom line, the gift to charity, the split interest part, has to be completed before the asset is sold. And even the documentation on the sale is critical. If there's anything in writing, any kind of a binding written agreement, it's technically too late. So we've had situations where once the tax consequences were realized, I've had clients say, well, in that case, I don't want to sell. They'll cancel all the deals, pull the property or the business from the market and wait for later, and then we'll gift it and relist it. And now the seller will not be them individually. The seller will be the charitable trust or the charitable organization that now owns the property because it's been gifted prior to the sale and prior to any binding or committed sale, so that we get those both the deduction on the front end and the avoidance of the capital gains.
Rick, I want to clarify here. You don't really have to, like, if you've got a company or a property that's very valuable and you're wanting to sell, it's not an all or nothing sort of thing, right? I mean, you could do a percentage be owned by this charitable structure and, you know, maybe half
absolutely.
Of it or whatever.
Right. And in fact, I think we did one of these big cases you and I did together some years ago. The client opted to throw 10% of the company into a split interest gift. So he kept 90% and did a split interest gift with 10%. And actually that case, as you know, is turning out very well over time. So yeah, it's not an all or nothing deal. It can be divided up, whether it's real estate or a company or a brokerage account. And often part of the planning process is to run what if scenarios. Well, what if I did all of it? What if I did none of it? What if I did half of it? And we've worked up spreadsheets before where we can kind of dial that in, and the client can see, well, here's the deductions and the income that pays out and the taxes, that the resulting taxes from all the various structures, and when we're able to help the client through that planning process, they'll come up with a comfort number. Hey, I'm comfortable at this percent, at half or 20% or 10% or whatever. And so that's a critical part of the advance work that we do before the decision, which is another reason why you can't wait until, hey, I sold it, past tense. What can I do now? Now, in fairness, you can still do something after the sale. But we're not going to get the same whiz. We're not going to get the same bang for the buck, so to speak. I want to mention another thing, that couple of things on the legal or political side. There have been talks by politicians. There are two opposing camps in the political arena. There are those that feel like that if the government does not do it, it must be evil and we should try to prevent it from happening. And there are those who think that if the government does do it, it must be evil and we should try to prevent it from happening. And those two, those are kind of extremes, and most people are not that extreme, but somewhere in the middle. But those two extremes are in a bit of a tug of war over charities right now. And there have been talks about abolishing some of these charitable deductions or restricting them or limiting them. in one camp, and the other camp, of course, saying, well, no, we should have more of this. So that's kind of something to watch in the political arena. But another thing that affects this is the deductions that you get, the charitable deductions, and the payout rates on some of these split interest gifts are affected by the current Fed rate. So right now, because that Fed rate is very, very low, for example, with a gift annuity that we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, the deduction is actually pretty low. In fact, it's the lowest it's ever been. 4 or 5 years ago, it was nearly double what it is today. So Fed rates can affect the payout and the deductibility and so forth. And then I guess the last thing I want to mention before we launch into this is these split interest gifts can be done either as a trust or as an annuity. And we've been talking about the trust. So let's kind of come back to that with a CRUT, Rich. There are some variations on that theme. The straight uni trust is where the CRUT just pays out a percentage of the assets every year, and it'll be a fixed percent of whatever the assets are. But then there's something called a NICRUT and an IMCRUT. Why don't you tell us about those? What are those about?
Well, the NICRUT and the NIMCRUT are, of course, just variations on the straight CRUT. And so a NICRUT, for example, really stands for net income, charitable remainder unit trust. And that just means that they pay a stated amount from the trust, but only to the extent that there is income earned in the trust without invading principal. So if it says you're supposed to pay 6%, but they only earned 5 in the trust on whatever they were investing in, then they're only going to get 5 because it's a net income trust. And that of course affects the value of the deduction on the front end, because that way they know that if the principal is not going to be invaded by these distributions, then a lot more is going to go to charity. A NIMCRUT, on the other hand, it's a net income, same thing, but it's got makeup provisions in it. So that means that you can pay the stated amount or net income, whichever is the lesser one. But then if you have a really good year down the road or several good years, then you can make up what you didn't get up to the stated amount. So if net income was like 0 for a while and so you didn't get anything, and then you had really good years, then you can make that up by paying, going back and calculating what should have been paid, and you can pay that. So as you can imagine, that probably will affect the deductibility on the front end by making it lower, because then now there will be less than going to charity. So that's what a NICRUT and a NIMCRUT are.
You know, it's interesting, over time, different ones, different variations of this CRUT become popular. In an era when we had highly appreciated real estate, some people might remember when real estate used to go up in value instead of down. That's a fond memory for some of us. But during that period of time, the NIMCRUT, the net income with makeup provisions, was a popular vehicle, because an income property would go in there. There would be a certain amount of income, but it would be less than the payout amount. When the property sells, there's a big pop, and we're able to make up for the value of that property while it was sitting there, not paying out any income for a period of time. These days, the CRUT that I see more often than not is the net income CRUT, and it's largely because people are concerned that there's a minimum, by the way, with the CRUT. It has to be at least 5%, and I've had people look me in the eye and say, are you kidding, 5%? I don't think we can get 5% these days. So they feel like that almost guarantees dipping into the principal. So the net income gives them the comfort level that, okay, the principal is not going to be consumed here. We will be able to preserve the principal and only pay out the net income, which of course then creates the potential as that the principal theoretically goes up in value over time, that it will be a percentage of a bigger number, so there will be kind of a built-in increase over time. These kind of split interest gifts are part of what is generally called in the charitable industry planned giving, which means a gift that's different than an outright gift. We're all familiar with, okay, I'm going to give $10 to my church or my school or my hospital, but a planned gift is something that occurs as part of a bigger picture issue. Sometimes it's a timed or structured to occur at death or the remainder, or it's part of a sale, or there's tax issues. And these are done often for the immediate tax deduction benefit. They're done to eliminate taxes at death or later on, or eliminate estate taxes or capital gains taxes. They can create a tax-advantaged income, particularly the gift annuities that we'll talk about in a bit here. And with proper structuring with asset replacement, we can end up having the value of what's going to end up going to charity. We can recapture that as tax-free money for heirs in with proper estate planning and the proper vehicles. And, of course, it's important to mention that this results in having some tax-exempt social capital, so to speak, some funds available, especially with the family foundation, that the family can use to promote and encourage and support their charitable interests. I think we need to take a break here. When later on the show, we are going to, of course, tell our listeners the big secret, how to turn their taxable IRAs or 401ks into a completely income tax and estate tax free structure. We'll talk about that later in the show after the break.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Are you looking for innovative ideas on how to achieve your financial dreams? Tune in to Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday afternoon at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Join certified financial planners Ken Smith and Ethan Broga to learn how you can obtain financial success. You'll be entertained while you discover techniques to alleviate your financial concerns. Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
You are tuned in to What About Wealth with Rich Bloomfield and Rick Durfee. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to info@whataboutwealth.com. That's info@whataboutwealth.com. Now back to Rick and Rich.
Hello. Before the break, we were talking about some of the reasons why people do these split interest gifts. And we keep mentioning these charitable gift annuities, CGAs. Rich, tell us what those are and how they differ from the CRUTs.
Okay. Well, a CRUT is a trust. So most of people have a vague understanding of what that means. It's a legal structure. On the other hand, a charitable gift annuity is just an annuity. So it's it's still a contract, but it's really a contract between you and the charity. And so how that works is the donor may have cash or securities, some sort of asset, and they go to a charity and say, look, you know, we'd like to get enter into this agreement with you where we end up with an annuity for our life or for a certain number of years. And then, but in the meantime, as long as we're guaranteed that annuity, then you get these assets or a certain amount of these assets. So, in that situation, the charitable organization may take the asset, sell it. They might even go out to the commercial market and buy an annuity and say, okay, we're spending this amount on the annuity and that's going to guarantee you your income for life and maybe for your spouse's life. And then anything that's left over, we're going to take and that will go towards our charitable mission. So, you can do that, or they can just do it internally. If they're large enough, they can just say, look, we're going to guarantee it ourselves, and they don't go out to the commercial market and buy an annuity. So that's generally what a charitable or gift annuity is, or a CGA.
Now, the charities that offer these, I want to just mention, by law, there's a statute called the Philanthropy Protection Act, a federal law. These are not registered as a security, so they're not like buying an annuity from an insurance company. And one of the effects of that law is the charities are prohibited from paying commissions. So if you or I recommend a gift annuity to a client as part of a transaction, it's actually we are prohibited by law from getting paid by the charity to do that. So that is done so that to as a kind of a trade-off to avoid the registration issues, we have to make sure that all the money ultimately goes to the charity and does not get spun off to guys like us getting paid something under the table or a commission or, you know, not under the table is the wrong word, but behind the scenes to promote this. Now, on the other hand, if the charity does choose to reinsure that risk by purchasing a commercial annuity, somebody with the appropriate licenses can sell that annuity to the charity and receive a commission not from the charity but from the insurance company. Now, there's kind of a sweet spot. You mentioned 55 to 80, but even in there, isn't there a kind of a range of age that's better than others to do this kind of planning?
Well, it seems like, and you know, there is a very wide range that this may make sense. But if you're talking about a sweet spot, the place that it just makes a ton of sense, that's usually from probably age 68 to 78, and that just the numbers work out well, and it just seems that everything works better. If you're looking for the exact right time to do it, it's probably that 10-year range in someone's life.
Now, and I agree with that. I want to mention I have seen younger people use the deferred gift annuity where these gift annuities, they can say, well, look, I want the deduction now, and I enter into this contract with the charity, but I don't want to take income until retirement age. So I'm 42 now, but I want to defer this income until I'm 65, which is 23 years. So a couple things happen with that. They get a much bigger deduction on the front end, so it's more attractive, and they get a bigger payout because they're waiting for that period of time before they take the money. I have seen and helped a number of young professionals, high-income earners, entrepreneurs with big incomes use this as a retirement planning device. It's an alternative to some of the other things. They can take $100,000, get a tax deduction for part of it, not all of it, so some fraction of it will be deductible, depending, again, on that Fed rate thing. And sock it away, and it gives them a guaranteed contractual right to income that will start at a retirement age that they can pick. And those are very, very attractive for entrepreneurs and high income earners that don't particularly want to use traditional IRAs or 401ks for all the reasons we're going to talk about here in a second when we tell you how to turn that IRA into a completely tax-free thing. So,
hey, Rick, you know, 23 years is a long ways away. So how do these guys get comfortable that, you know, that the money and the income is actually going to be there? What
That's a great question.
What do they do? Because I know
For transparency, because and our listeners may or may not remember this, but there was a period of time a couple of decades ago when some charities, there were some scandalous situations where charities were taking in money on these kind of deals and basically ripping people off, throwing big lavish parties and taking their staffs on cruises. And they spent the money, and they were trying to float it as a Ponzi scheme to bring new money in to pay off the old donors, and it eventually collapsed. So in every case with these deferrals, the donor typically requires the charity to reinsure. They want some kind of a guaranteed vehicle that the charity buys that will be a segregated account, so it's not commingled with their other funds, and that will have a guaranteed payout. So typically the charity will buy some kind of a combination of commercial annuities and in some instances life insurance that will be set aside in a segregated account to guarantee the ability of the charity to make this payout. And I can tell you, because I sit on a chair on the board of a charity that does this kind of planning. The charity, the board is very concerned. The board's saying, hey, 23 years from now, we'll all be retired or dead or, you know, doing something else. We want to make sure that the foundation that's providing this split interest gift doesn't get in trouble, because suddenly, we're obligated now to pay this money. We don't have any. So in my experience, the board of directors that has to approve these kind of transactions is pretty darn conservative and wants to make sure that there are reliable, highly rated financial products secured, paid for, on the shelf, clicking away, earning a return on the money so that when that timer goes off, ding, 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 I just turned 65, where's my check? There's money to make the payment with.
Rick, that's really a good point, and I wanted to jump in here before we go to break and let our listeners know that you've been working in this charitable arena for most of your career, and I remember the time when all of these public charities got in trouble doing all the things that you just mentioned. And in fact, I was along, you know, you asked me to participate when you founded an organization called Legacy Global Foundation, which you head up. And you started that not because you were just dying to have another organization to run, but because at that time, the industry was so tainted that people just didn't want to get involved with anybody because you never knew what you were going to find in the closet. So I remember you set up this organization at a great time and expense to so that it was brand new, didn't have anything in the closet, and that allowed our clients to feel comfortable that they could deal with us. And then, as you mentioned, you put very stringent rules in place so that there's really no room for funny games in there. And we just made sure that all of those things were instituted right from the beginning so that we have a solid foundation, this charity Legacy Global Foundation that can people can put their money in and know that with confidence that it's going to be there. They turn 65, they're going to get income. If anything happens, we make sure that it's reinsured. So anyway, I just wanted to let our listeners know that, that you're a guy that's on the leading edge of this whole area of charitable giving. And so, you know a lot about it. and about the industry, and you've been there and done that, and that you have a great place to put money if people really want to do this kind of planning. We've got a few more things to talk about here as we when we come back from break, and we'll also talk about how we can convert your IRA or 401k traditional into completely tax-free assets. We'll do that right after the break.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Do you want to know what's really going on these days? Well, Capital Thinking takes you inside the worlds of policy, politics, law, and business. What happens in Washington, on Wall Street, and in our nation's legal system impacts your business every day. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes tour of all of it. Each week, we bring you unfiltered conversation with a variety of influential policymakers, lawyers, and business leaders. I'm Kevin O'Neill, and I'm your host as Capital Thinking tours the halls of power. Join me for Capital Thinking on the Voice America Business Network each Thursday at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Leadership is a vital skill set in today's competitive global economy. Being a leader is not enough. To succeed, you must optimize your performance and know how to imbue others in your organization with leadership skills. Practical, actionable leadership insights are the focus of Leadership Development News, hosted each Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, by Kathy Greenberg and Relly Nadler on the Voice America Business Channel. Drs. Greenberg and Nadler, who coach global leaders on how to be most effective, will share their insights and contacts. The path to leadership excellence begins here.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to What About Wealth with Rich Bloomfield and Rick Durfee. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to info@whataboutwealth.com. That's info@whataboutwealth.com. Now back to Rick and Rich.
Welcome back, everyone. Before I went to the break, we were talking about Legacy Global Foundation. Rick, I know that that sets you up as an expert in this area, and I know we're trying to wrap this up and make sure people understand what we're talking about here today. So I'm going to turn that over to you to jump into that and try to make sense of all of this for everyone before we complete the show.
Sure. I want to just follow up on something you said in the last segment about, I heard a situation where some soldiers were in a combat zone and had taken off their body armor because it was hot, and then they got ambushed and one of them was, injured, and another one was killed. And so in some ways, that situation with the charitable planning was a bit like that. Here, lawyers and CPAs, we were recommending these charitable vehicles and putting our clients in them with no clue that bad stuff was happening under the cover. And even though we didn't do anything unlawful because we involved our clients and they lost money, it was an extremely uncomfortable and unpleasant experience. And so part of the purpose for Legacy Global was, a soldier with his body armor on. We're going to do it right. We're going to make sure that nobody's left holding the bag because of shenanigans. And that's been a very critical thing. I kind of want to mention these split interest gifts can be used on the sale of highly appreciated assets. They can be used as a device to create tax deductions when there are other taxable events like withdrawing from an IRA. It's a great exit strategy for businesses or property. It's a great deferred tax planning exit strategy. It's great for large estates. Often people with big estates say, I want to pay zero estate taxes. I can guarantee you we can get it to zero and we can capture all the value for your family, but there's going to be some charitable planning in there. It's great for those who want or need a fixed income. And, of course, it's important to know that in all these, there has to be a charitable intent. I've had people do some of these and then come back later and say, hey, I avoided the taxes. Now I want my money back. Well, no. You're going to get your money like this and this and this, but this money goes to charity. And that you got to remember that you are supporting charity with this. This is a great kind of planning for those that either have no children or that have already provided enough. They've hit the enough number for their children. And none of this should be done in isolation. It should be part of an integrated plan where there's other stuff going on. And, you know, some of the interesting things that can flow out of this, the split interest that we've talked about, we've talked mostly about retaining the income interest and giving away the residue. You can actually do the opposite with the lead trust, where you retain the residue and give away the income, which is kind of cool. We actually illustrated one of these about 2 weeks ago for a very, very substantial client. And the purpose of it was to discount the value of that residue. The residue, because you don't get the income for a term of years, is greatly reduced in value, and you can give that residue away to children or grandchildren under a generation skip trust and avoid a lot of taxes. And this has been used by the Kennedys and by high net worth families with great benefit to the family to preserve wealth from getting gobbled up in taxes. Now, should we talk about our little issue here, how to turn an IRA into a completely tax-free vehicle?
I think we better do that.
Okay, this is one of my very favorite things, and I just was in Las Vegas speaking at an event there and encountered a gentleman that had $4.5 million in an IRA. He's 70, in his mid-70s. I can't remember his exact age, but he's telling me, look, I don't need my required minimum distributions. In fact, I'm a little irritated that I have to take this money out. I have other money for my retirement. I just want to give my children this $4.5 million. And I said, well, have you done the math? And he didn't know what I meant. And I said, well, have you calculated how much your children are going to net after they pay the taxes? And because of the size of his estate, even with a $5 million exclusion, that $4.5 million IRA is subject to both income tax and estate taxes, and the combined taxes, you know, total in the high 60s, low 70 percentile, and it could push up to the high 70 percentile with state taxes. Those are just the federal taxes. He was to in a word, flabbergasted that his children were going to net, you know, 20, 25, best case scenario, maybe 30% of the money, and that's not what he wanted. So here's the plan in a nutshell. I'm just going to hammer it through real quick. We showed him how he could take distributions out of the IRA, and he's going to do three things. Pay his income taxes as he goes, number one. Number two, use whatever he wants to during his lifetime, which in his case was zero, but in other scenarios, yeah, there might be some money used for retirement. And the third one is gift that money to an irrevocable trust, an irrevocable dynasty trust preferably, and buy life insurance. And given this gentleman's health and his wife, who was a few years younger than him, we were able to illustrate a substantial policy, I think $10 or $12 million of life insurance that he was going to buy. So in the event of his death, the last thing here is we will name after his wife. His wife is the first beneficiary of that $4.5 million IRA, but the second beneficiary is his family foundation, his donor advised fund. So let's look at what happens at death. This $4.5 million IRA that was going to be subject to all these taxes goes completely tax-free, zero taxes whatsoever, goes to his family foundation. He's able to capture all the money that would have been lost to taxes for his charitable mission. Now, Did he lose? No. He still had the $4.5 million to use during his lifetime, so if he needed it, he could have taken it out any time. And his children, instead of getting a $4.5 million tax problem, are going to get $10 to $12 million income tax-free and estate tax-free. So nobody lost except for the politicians who didn't get quite as much money to grab and deal with. Instead, he's able to keep those dollars in the control of his family so they could make the decisions on how the money is going to be used.
So, Rick, to clarify here, did you buy a second-to-die or suggest buying a second-to-die policy so that that policy actually pays out when his wife is gone as well?
Exactly. It pays out on the second death, and it was significantly less expensive that way for him to do that, and it made it actually easier to get the insurance. So, yes, it pays out on the second death. Him and his wife both get to enjoy however much of that $4.5 million they want or need. Now, not everybody has a $4.5 million IRA. This would work with one obviously substantially smaller, but the big number makes it kind of a fun story. So they keep the IRA. It doesn't go anywhere. There it is. They can control it and invest it. Their children are guaranteed to get this $10 or $12 million again, tax free, and all that 60-70% of that $4.5 million that was going to go away in taxes is captured completely tax free in the family foundation.
Wow, that's a cool planning idea, and it happens more often than people realize, because you know over time people put money away in these IRAs and then they don't realize what the consequences are when they do. If they can do this sort of thing, it's a great thing for the family and for charity. So, kind of wrapping this up here, Rick. We want to make our listeners to remember that you can set up a donor advised fund for your family. That's a great place to start. That can be done at little or no cost, and you can set that up and have your own family foundation. And then we can, depending on your situation or you know what sort of assets you have, we can set up the appropriate split interest gift that will eventually fund your donor advised fund, and will also generally give you an income throughout your life. So, in any situation where there's a lot of planning going on, and we've got a lot of assets, and we're trying to move them to the next generation, a charitable component generally makes that a whole lot easier. So, anyway, we encourage all of you to give us a call at 480-324-8000. Set up an appointment. We'd be happy to talk to you at any time. And we appreciate you listening to the program, and we'll be back here again next Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time.
Thank you for listening to What About Wealth with hosts Rich Bloomfield and Rick Durfee. Please join us again for another edition next Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Until then, have a profitable week.